For July the 30th, 2021, we talk about Fatum Betula, Gas Station Simulator, and we ask you about your celebration games. Welcome to Level 379. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Here, rocking it three style tonight. David has some family in town, and Jala is celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday, Jala!
Happy birthday, Jala!
Happy birthday, Jala!
Yeah, as of the time that we are that we're recording, by the time you're hearing this, her birthday was a few days ago. But I think she's doing like a birthday a month kind of thing. So you're good. Mm-hmm. I don't think she would look askance if anybody told her happy birthday. In fact, we celebrated this past Saturday. We did that stream with Adam Bucherry of Enter the Survival Horror. He DM'd or proctored or what have you a game of Harrowing for us over on Jala's channel, and that was a good time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think the closest thing we had done to role-playing up until this point was our Christmas Time Stories playthrough, which we've done two of.
Yeah. Have we done two or we've done three? We did the Innsmouth one. We did the
Prophecy of Dragons.
Yeah, Prophecy of Dragons.
Which actually does not have prophecy or dragons in it.
it's pretty okay. It's pretty disappointing. And then we did the Resident Evil
ripoff. Yeah. Okay, sweet. All right, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But time flies.
It really does. But that was a good time. Hopping on there and doing it's been a little while since I had done anything similar to that. I read lots of tabletop like source books and rule books. Like either like classic ones or like when new ones come out, I just get them because I just love source books. But and if you looked at my bookshelf, you would think, oh, this guy, he plays heck of Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. Nope.
Just do a podcast about them.
Not even about them. I just like reading the books.
Mm-hmm. This one was a bit different since it was like science fiction themed, which I was really into. I was glad we could try that out. Find myself more into sci-fi over fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam did a great job. I'm like always impressed by DMs with their ability to like come up with things on the fly. I feel like that would be so hard to do and make like entertaining and coherent.
Mm-hmm.
And be the NPCs at the same time. So
exactly.
Big ups.
Oh, just kind of keeping us moving and all of that. Yeah, it was fun. I wish I had more like stuff to say on top of that. We had a loss in the family, so I had a funeral, but that's not like fun podcast stuff to say as an anecdote at the front of a recording. So
when have we ever tried to be relevant or cater to the masses?
Yeah.
When have we ever tried to be enjoyable?
it's relevant life stuff. I'm convinced that like this podcast, like at one dimension of doing it is like so that 20 or 30 years from now you can go back and listen and be like, oh, I was doing that at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. I think it's relevant information.
Yeah. It was weird. It was weird being around a bunch of people from around the country after this past 18 months for sure, but also with like the Delta thing happening right now and all that, like getting over that anxiety plus my general like social kind of thing, and just also I don't like dressing up. I don't like leaving the house in the morning. I've designed my life to not have to do a lot of things.
You don't have to justify not being super hyped for a funeral. Like that's the definition.
Oh God, yeah. But that's all I got. I don't have any. I don't have anything exciting. Dottie fell on my head,
like just now, or at some point over the week.
No. This was like some day, like over the weekend. I was stretching out, resting my eyes, and Dottie has figured out how to get on top of my headboard. She was up there messing with some curtains, and all 9 pounds of her just like toppled and fell right onto my head as I was resting my eyes. She was fine. She's fine. I'm fine. She was real embarrassed. I didn't really see a lot of her for the rest of the day. Oh man, it hasn't taught her not to get up there and mess with the curtains, but
just do it more sneakily next time.
Yeah, that's literally the only story I've got.
next time she's gonna see if she can justify ripping your face off, like, oh, I'm sorry, that was accidental. Yeah. Again, so I really got those claws in there.
Yeah, this is Dottie. If she wanted me dead, I'd be fucking dead. Yeah, Ben, how about you? What's going on?
Oh, not much. Yeah, like D&D was the fun thing to do over the weekend. This was kind of my last weekend of rest for a little bit. I'm going out of town like the next few weekends for next month. I have like 2 weddings and I'm going down to Portland this weekend. So
cool.
That'll be fun to see some of the people. So I'm excited about that. But I'll also miss, you know, restful weekends, just like sleeping in and stuff. So
That's cool. How about you, Dennis?
Man, I feel like the Jala birthday hangout was such a high point that I don't want to hold anything in comparison to that. It's a pretty tame week outside of that.
Yeah.
What was everyone's favorite part of the D&D campaign?
Just the many instances of Mike the pilot AI.
Dude, same. The 3 mics.
That was pretty good. The jetpack landing was fun.
It was nice. I need to look up if that's more of a thing, because I think doing like sci-fi D&D would be like more of my jam.
You can absolutely find that, and the cool thing is, like, Harrowing isn't even specifically a sci-fi system. We just said we thought that would be fun.
Adam did that because just Jala, I think she asked him for it, or like he just knew Jala likes like sci-fi horror stuff. So
I think I also maybe asked Jala as well, and she might have forwarded that request because she's awesome. So
But the game we played, which is available on Adam's it's available on itch.io. It's called The Harrowing, and like the concept is that no dice and you know, story forward, so collaborative storytelling, but you know, just you're playing as the players are people who are having a bad day, and they have a limited amount of like willpower, and they accumulate stress by having things happen, and every action they do lets kind of the narrator, the person who's DMing, accrue doom points, which can be used to inflict catastrophes on them. So it's a real neat storytelling conceit. That is that is balanced around their kind of always being incident. Yeah.
I mean, literally baked into the mechanics, the entire game is the GM will remember that.
Yes.
To make decisions and do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says in the rules, like, you should go in with the expectation that this is the worst day of your character's life, and like it's going to be bad for him. Like, don't, like, you shouldn't be attached to, you know, like seeing them win. You should just, you know, role play them having a terrible time.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Which is a great time.
Yeah.
Also a great time is, you know, doing the regular kind of show, 3 or 4 style. You know, and by the regular kind of show, I mean the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about we talk about games that we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Sorry, I kind of glitched there. Yeah. Who has one that isn't Snake RX?
looks like you're going first, Cole.
Looks like we kind of glitched there.
Okay. It's real funny. It's real funny how that game has kind of wormed its way in. Unfortunately, worms and snakes. I don't know.
Are worms not snakes?
They both, you know, do similar movement. Attach the same movement script to them if it was a video game.
Yeah, if you cut a snake in half, it just makes 2 snakes. I believe that's the way that it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen Hercules. Oh,
dude, side note, before the DM, I was thinking of like characters in case we had to come up with ones, but one of them was going to be a doctor who was a snake because I thought that that would be fun.
Oh God, just pretending and insisting that he's not a snake, even though everybody can tell. Yeah, I get that all the time. That's dumb. So not what you said, Ben. What I said. No. So I've between the family stuff and then also like being real busy for playing stuff for work. The only new thing that I've played, it is a horror game that I streamed this past Friday. It is called Fatum Betula, F-A-T-U-M. And then second word, B-E-T-U-L-A. If you look this up, this will, if this looks familiar to you, it is because it appeared as a demo in the Haunted PS1 demo disc back in 2020. So this is, you know, game made by, I believe, like a one-person team or very small team. It's first-person exploration. Kind of a first person like adventure game, not really like walking sim because that's just that's not what you're doing. What this is, it has, you know, PS1 style aesthetics, so really chunky kind of geometry on both the world and the bizarre characters. But the idea is that the world has ended. And you are in this strange place where a snake creature tells you, or a worm creature or a doctor creature tells you that you will need to water this birch tree that is in this temple in order to restart the world, because you're here in this kind of like liminal state. And whatever you water it with is going to affect the new world that comes that comes from the that comes next, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going around in this, you know, relatively like, you know, limited area that is, you know, quite sparse, you know, is meant to be eerie and empty. And you're dealing with, you know, sometimes characters who are outright horrific or just strange looking, looking for, you know, different liquids, be it blood, be it poison, be it oil, that you can either pour into the water around the tree in order to get an ending. You know, you are trying to solve, Ben has put the picture of the snake guy with his vertical mouth, and teeth.
I saw that and I immediately thought of the moon from Majora's Mask.
Yes. Yeah.
It's got big energy of that game.
Yeah. That's the guy who comes out and tells you. Also, he tells you, for the love of God, don't put any blood on this bad boy. You can really screw things up if you put blood on it. But this is a game that's it's pretty similar to the Stanley Parable or like Don't Shit Your Pants. Those are comedy games, but this I'll justify that comparison by saying that, like, you know, there are relatively limited things you can do. You are looking for different endings by just kind of pressing up against the edges of things and experimenting. Like, what will happen if I give this person this? What will happen if I attack this with this, with this sword? And it's meant to be played over and over and over again because it iterates, you know, pretty quickly. Like, I got like 9 of the 10 endings over the course of streaming it for about 2 hours on Friday. You know, it's a relatively small game, but it's neat.
I love these games that know exactly what they are and do that, and, you know, don't feel the need to belabor the point.
Yeah, yeah. There are some frustrations to it. Like, there are times where just like I got stuck because the world state reset, you know, when I picked up one thing and left the room, and then left a room and then went back into it, thinking like, oh, I forgot to do this other thing. And now it's lost. and I need to restart again. Like, there are some fit and finish and polish problems to it, but like, by and large, it is, you know, like, you can take a look at a screenshot of this, you know, and kind of get the really thick, you know, just lo-fi atmosphere. The character designs alone, you know, keep you kind of looking around the next corner to see what kind of new messed up thing you're going to find.
So far in looking at trailers and images, the steak mouth guy seems to be the one kind of overtly horrific thing on the front of the box anyway. Okay. And it sounds like the way you're describing it, he's not, you know, he's there to give you instructions versus attack you. So,
yeah. And like, this is not a game where like an enemy is going to attack you and you are going to die. You know, there's no real peril aside from the different endings that you can get, which are all like done in pretty fun FMV. But they can get, you know, they're presented in, you know, like, horrific, you know, kind of surreal tone poem, kind of deals. So this is like, yes, it is. I would categorize this as horror, but it is more like an atmospheric existential, kind of thing. It'll make you feel, you know, real uneasy. I would say.
How's the FMV quality? Is it like people dressed up in suits as these things, or
no? The FMV, it's mostly like artistically treated stock footage kind of stuff.
Okay.
With like text overlays and motion graphic kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. It's neat. I'm happy that I gave it a chance. I was initially kind of like not put off, but like there were some bangers in that first on a PS1 demo disc, and and it's like I kind of didn't know what to do. Like, I really appreciated the aesthetic, but it was like, yeah, I kind of am not really understanding what's being asked of me here, though, kind of taking a chance on it and figuring out how it works and how it was structured. It was kind of neat seeing it open up before me.
Nice.
Yeah, any other questions about Phantom Betula?
Will you go back and get the 10th ending?
I don't know. Maybe it would be real quick.
Well, that's good. So you like know what you would need to do for it.
There's a guide on Steam, that, nice. that I could look at for it.
He has his ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And honestly, that's all I got. I'm sorry.
You got one more that I want to talk about. I don't know if we talked about this last week or not. I forget. Did we talk about the gas station simulator?
Oh shit, we didn't talk about Gas Station Simulator. Oh, okay.
Whoa, you power washed and gassed up? My God, man.
Yeah.
I can't remember when it was last week. It might have been after last week's recording.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think that might have been on Friday that I did that. Yeah, Gas Station Simulator. We talked about it. I think Jala brought it end boss. At some point, mm-hmm. kind of knowing that I would be that I would go apeshit for it, so I played the demo for Gas Station Simulator, and it's not boring; it's relaxing. it's just what I constantly say about these goofy games. You're playing as somebody who kind of takes over control of a rundown gas station out in the middle of a desert that your cousin used to own. For the demo, it's already stocked, you know, so you don't have to worry about buying stock or putting it on shelves or anything. And the demo itself is one day of action that is going to like run you through some real basic the three basic things that you're going to do. The three different kind of customers that you're going to get, which are obviously dispensing gas. You know, you're pumping gas for people who are buying things in the convenience store, inside.
So this takes place in Oregon then.
Based on the cars, I think it takes place so it doesn't take place in the 40s because there's a computer. It's really confused because I think this is a game made in Poland.
It's a timeless game.
Yeah. And then also you have you have people who come into the garage looking to get their tires replaced, their hoods polished, or their broken side view mirrors replaced.
And those aren't euphemisms, right? That's literal.
No, that's literal. Like the hood polish. Okay. That could be a ghastly euphemism, but that was more there are scratches. Can you polish out that? Can you buff out that scratch? It's stuff like that. And each of these that you do, you get points. This is in addition to keeping the place busy or keeping the place clean, which relates to keeping it busy. So like when you first show up, you know, the place is full of trash. So you have to pick up
footprints everywhere.
Yeah, there are footprints and dirt smudges everywhere. So you have to pick up the trash and then you've got to take your broom and then clean up the floor. And as more customers come in, the place will get dirtied up and cluttered up. And the dirtier your place is, people won't come in and they won't stick around. So you need to, in between customers or as you're moving between places, you need to make sure that you're sweeping as well. I was surprised because you are
playing as the mechanic NPC from Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yes, pretty much. I mean, literally, because you're also you're replacing tires on cars. Uh-huh. I was surprised because most of these simulation games end up being a little bit kind of like leisurely, right? Maybe it was because this demo had a goal of beating your cousin's sales record, so you want to help enough people to make enough money to where you can quote win, right? Like this ended up being really hectic actually, as people pulled up in different places and you were trying to keep all the plates spinning, and
gotta hire help.
I'm curious if that's going to be a thing or if it's, you acting as the one man band throughout all of this, throughout the entire game. I don't know. It'd be neat if you could hire help and like manage their performance and give them shifts and boss them around.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, the same way that the game changes with scale in Dyson Sphere Project, that would be sweet if you had a game like this where it's like you run the store, then you become the manager, and like you don't do any of those things anymore. Like you're just doing feedback evaluations and stuff like that.
Or you have multiple locations and you become a chain and stuff. I have no idea how like how high up that'll go, because that was the case with Medieval Dynasty. Simulation game where you could, hire people to work your land for you and stuff. And eventually you would be a mayor of a town and stuff like that. I don't know if that's what this is aiming for. Instead, it ended up being not like mechanically difficult, but just there's a lot to do. Like, all right, I'm checking people out and I've got to advance the belt at the cash register and scan everything and put it into the basket and make sure, nothing makes it into the basket without me scanning it, stuff like that.
Wait, this isn't a VR game, is it?
No, it could very easily be VRified.
I would love to work a belt in VR.
Yeah. Which, God bless anybody who works at a gas station in real life. It feels a little goofy to be like saying, oh yeah, this simulator, whew, pretty rough. No, nowhere near as rough as working in an actual gas station. It ended up being just a little bit more involved than I expected it to, which made it fun to stream.
Very cool.
Yeah. Any other questions about the gas station simulator demo?
It looks sweet. I was just disappointed when I found out that it was just a demo and not the full game, because I was like, I was primed. I was going to buy it Friday night and play it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Nope, it's a demo. I don't know when the full game is scheduled to come out, but you betcha I will probably be talking about it.
And Ben, how dare you cheat on Snake Doctor?
What do you mean? Oh, like I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. It doesn't care. It's not actual cheating.
It was emotional cheating, okay?
Yeah. Look at this snake judge.
BT Dubs, I did not know that emotional cheating was a thing. Oh, I found that out for the first time like a couple months ago.
I think it varies person to person what could be considered that, but yeah, no, it's a it is a concept at the very least.
Yeah. There are a million ways to destroy a relationship.
Of course. Yeah.
Paul Simon only knows 50, so
scrub. Paul Simon's a scrub.
Okay, no imagination.
But yeah, gas station simulator. Thank you for reminding me of that. I did not write that down. Yeah. All right. So who has, do you both literally just have Snake RX?
No. I've got stuff. Right. I won't even talk about Snake RX. So it's, there.
No,
it's boss of me.
It's not a problem. It would have been very funny if that was all you guys had.
That made up 50% of the games.
It'd be like Hearthstone all over again. Like, okay, it's like the Spire. Like, I'm just gonna sit back. I'll let you guys go.
Oh man, yeah, those two games are closer than you think. But yeah, so what I've been playing in the video game world, apart from Snake Doctor, is more Minecraft Dungeons.
Oh yeah,
they released another expansion, which is excellent.
Are these just big updates?
No, so they had a season of expansions that were paid that you could buy as a bundle. That was three. Then they had a big expansion that was free to everyone. And then this is, I believe, the first in the next season of expansions. So this has gotten way better support than I expected, which, if it's being done under the Minecraft logo, I imagine the powers that be aren't going to let that be a half-assed effort. Mm-hmm. It's called The Hidden Depths, and the big twist of it is that it takes place all underwater. What that means is that you now, in addition to your health meter, have an air meter, and you need to walk over air vents every so often, lest you start to drown and your health tick away to nothing. Which is, that is always the most stressful part of any video game, right? Looking at you, Sonic.
Yeah,
I was traumatized as a child.
I mean, you're saying that like a joke, but I mean, yeah.
Yes, yeah. yeah, if you want horror in what is that, a two note song? Anyway, yeah. So
it's like Jaws. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It carries, the Hidden Depths carries that little bit of extra tension.
Mm-hmm.
You're never too far away from an air vent until you completely are, and then panic mode sets in.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job of pacing it to where, going through a normal level, they're pretty generous. And it's just, you can get absorbed in combat and wander away, or you get kind of that, you can tell there are certain areas that are designed to be like, all right, we're going to starve you for a little bit, or asphyxiate you, I guess. That sounds weird. When the pressure's on, that does amp everything up. The screen starts turning blue and, where's the air vent? We just passed him. Do we go back? No, there's going to be one for him. We just like, and you're stuck like halfway in between. And there could be one around the next corner, or you could run all the way back to where you started.
Yeah.
That's where things get really, really interesting.
It's like trying to find a gas station on a country highway. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The other thing they did, which I am really not a fan of, is because you're underwater, your arrows are effectively useless. So they'll kind of leap out for a couple of feet and then just rapidly slow down and plunk to the ground. The good news is if they do wind up hitting at any point in the arc, they do full damage. So that's nice. Certainly doesn't make any diegetic sense, but it's nice. But really there was no point where I was at a range that it was worth using arrows versus just running the couple of feet to the enemy and hitting them with melee instead.
So here's a question. how build dependent is Minecraft Dungeons? Like, is that a thing that will screw you over if your character is has invested a lot of like points into either like, you know, improving archery skills or getting equipped with archery? Like, is this an expansion that just invalidates an entire playstyle?
It is. However, the way Minecraft works is all of your you know, advancement points are tied to equipment.
Okay.
And so, you know, it is never, at this point, we're like a level 140 or something. At this point, we've got enough advancement points that we can have multiple pieces of gear upgraded at once. And so, you know, at this point, the worst crime is like, I'm going to be forced to use a piece of gear that I'm kind of don't like.
Right.
It was powerful. You can always have a melee weapon, a ranged weapon equipped. So you've always got the melee fallback. But yeah, there are definitely like items that are completely ranged focused. And, you know, if you enjoy playing the game that way, I've had times where just because I had an overpowered bow, I wanted to focus on ranged and did. And I could not do that here. There is like a, it's like a trident crossbow you can get. It's like one of the new items that its special power is it works fine underwater.
Okay.
And it's like, that's wonderful. You created a problem and then you gave me this basic ass bow that works exactly normal. Like any other bow in any other level sans any special effects. The one special effect is that it solves the problem that you created.
Did they add any new combat systems to like fill the void? Because like, you know, I don't know. It kind of seems like, you know, a dungeon crawl game like that is in danger of being repetitive anyway, you know, kind of falling into Tappa Tappa, you know?
If you show up, you're looking for the Diablo style Tappa Tappa.
Yeah.
The one other thing they did that I like is your typical role is now this like swirl forward swimming dive that goes way further.
Okay.
And it allows you to like jump across chasms and stuff, which is super cool. And the level design kind of works around that. And so that you're also, and this is my anecdotal appraisal of it, is that you are also able to go from a roll to a melee attack faster.
Okay.
So there is this kind of, I can charge into combat a little bit easier. Since that's what I'm going to prefer over using bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so again, I think that just compounds the problem of there's never a time where it's not better for me to just roll over and smack them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's enough else going on interesting, like just navigating the new levels and managing the air vents, like I said, that I don't feel like it's ruined it. Like there's still new stuff that is interesting, but it's just like, I like this would have been that much better if I didn't also have this entire facet, literally a third of your inventory taken away.
Right.
But yeah, so that it's been fun to explore that. We got to the final boss of the second level today, and it glitched. It got stuck outside the arena. Like it's one of those, like it's a big giant fish thing that swims in, attacks you, and then swims out and kind of waits on the outskirts for a little bit and then swims back in. Well, it swam out and never swam back in. And you know,
free Willy situation.
Yeah, exactly. Now it was still attacking from outside the arena. So okay. Like this is crap. And like, so we kind of hid in this area that we had like a pillar in front of us blocking it, and went to Google and found like this was a common problem. There was one item, the lightning rod, that you could get. And then you needed one of the people to die so that it goes into night mode, which is, you know, if someone is dead so that you don't just ignore them, it starts spawning just random enemies around you. And it spawns more and more difficult enemies the longer one of your people stays dead.
Right.
So the lightning rod runs on souls. You have to kill enemies to power it up, and then it's got a powerful attack.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have one person die. the one person remaining has to fight all the enemies that are spawning because of night mode to charge up the lightning rod. Then you have to run over and use the lightning rod on the boss outside the arena to damage it, rinse and repeat. And again, the enemies scale the longer night mode goes on, trying to force you to either die or, you know, heal your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the approach.
That sounds frustrating and tedious.
It would have been more frustrating if we didn't happen to have the lightning rod in our inventory, because I keep a very tight curation on my inventory. Like, right, if I don't immediately need it, I delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Jen is more liberal, and that saved our asses this time around.
Is this like a roguelike where you can't like restart the run, or like you can't like save and restart the boss battle? Like, you have to figure out a way.
Not within a level. I mean, we could have backed out and restarted the level at any time, but that's a 20-minute run. Like, especially the DLC levels are extra long. There's only, I think, either three or four, usually three, in an expansion. And I think they make up for that by just making really, really long levels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is cool, but you do not want to glitch out on the final boss. So anyway, Lightning Rod did the trick. Actually, a couple times in, me dying for whatever reason convinced him to come back in. And at that point we were on our last like full team death. You get three full team deaths before you are kicked out of the level.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wait, no, it's come back in. Oh crap. You need to heal me. Like, get me back up. And now all of a sudden the threat is very immediate, instead of just trying to like hack your way through this kind of weird ending. But you know, I was revived just in time and was able to finish off the boss after this crazy set of circumstances. It was a real fun moment to end on. So it was a fun DLC, just not entirely for the reasons that I think they intended.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's more stuff kind of coming down the way? I mean, this game has been out for over a year now, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I think it is a whole nother season of content. And I would have to look to tell you what's coming next, but I do believe there's more expansions on the way.
Yeah, neat.
So yeah, it's one of those really nice games to kind of forget it exists until you see randomly that there's another expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And then get excited and jump in and have some new stuff to do.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so that is the Hidden Depths,
an expansion for Minecraft Dungeons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which it took until now, you know, the kids watch us play until now. And Luke turns to me really thoughtfully and goes, "Hey, there's no building in Minecraft." I was like, "Different Minecraft, buddy. I understand how that's confusing." We're also 150 hours into this game, and you just now realized that.
Where's the craft?
Dang.
We're not even mining.
Moment now. I'm sure they're going to start building any moment now.
it wakes you up just in the middle of the night from a stone cold sleep. Stone cold sleep, and says, "It makes no sense that there's a Final Fantasy II."
Oh man.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
That honestly, apart from the Snake Doctor game that shall not be named, that's the only video games.
You're making it sound like I made a rule. It's not like there's a rule.
I also named the thing that shall not be named.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on in that sentence.
What is that game actually called? Because like I know how to search for it and stuff, but like, is it actually called Snake Doctor, or is it SNKRX?
No, I get okay. Like, yeah. Someone's got to ask the creator.
Right.
Maybe you can.
I will if they talk to me. Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, I've also for whatever reason, this was the week of all the Kickstarter solo board/card games arriving,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. I got a game called Harsh Shadows. And it's just a very small, like one deck of cards solo game by Rachel Bruner. And it's simulating you being an agent trying to track down a spy, which is cool. I'm a little irked though, because it is like a week after the Kickstarter ended and this game showed up.
Oh, wow.
Now obviously from a delivery and getting to play it standpoint, fantastic. Like, what do you mean you're pissed that you didn't have to wait literally years to get your thing? But that means when they ran the Kickstarter, like, this thing was in the warehouse, finished and ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just the Kickstarter was like a pre-order then.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there's nothing in the rule book that says Kickstarters can't be pre-orders. Mm-hmm. But it feels a little bit like bad form. Like, even when the big names are on there and you know that they're going to do it regardless and this thing is going to raise. And you know, they don't really need it. At least they usually do it before the production run.
Right.
This came fast. So yeah. I might as well have picked it up at Target or what have you.
Oh yeah.
But the game is fun. It's you kind of put a little grid out in front of you and you choose where to move. And then the spy's move is randomly determined. And on just a 3x3 grid, that means that there's very few positions where you're not in some percentage chance danger of the spy getting you. And if they're on the center square, it means you are, completely at risk.
Yeah.
So there's always tension and you kind of have a whole bunch of clues and things you need to gather before finally being able to accuse the spy, catch the spy. It's the tension of like, how long do I spend gathering evidence before I just go for it?
Mm-hmm.
And how long do I spend, because every extra turn you spend kind of building your case, you're also increasing the chances that the spy gets on top of you. So very interesting game. Very like I said, light component wise. It's a single deck of cards, which you all know I love. So it's good stuff. And then I also got Relics of Rajavihara, which Rajavihara is an actual place. That's cool. And it's like an Indiana Jones simulation by way of Block Puzzle. And you literally set out blocks on the game board and there's rules for where you can push them around and what type of block does what. And so for all these games like Madara and like Gloomhaven that are board game simulations of incredibly complex RPG video games, it's kind of fun to play a little block puzzle simulation game. It's like this is a lot easier to keep track of. It has all the same little kind of puzzle elements where usually you kind of set up the puzzle and there seems to be one obvious path forward. But you're always like one move shy of being able to do it or you're that close, but need one extra block that you don't have, which then trying to figure out how do I do it in one move less or with one less block starts this whole chain reaction of you solving it in a completely different way, than you initially thought, which is fun.
Yeah.
So Harsh Shadows and Relics of Rajavihara, that one's by Joe Slack. And it has been a good week for solo games.
Yeah. Is it like Hearth Shadows, like Hearthstone?
Oh no, Harsh Shadows.
Harsh.
Yeah, the double sh there is kind of rough.
Yeah, yeah. Harsh Shadows. There we go.
I get what they were going for, like the Shadows sneaky agent spy things. Yeah. And they're harsh, but I feel like there are a lot of words other than harsh that could have sufficed.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get that weird little identical phoning diphthong going on.
I want the comedy simulation with ghosts that is Horror Shadows. And then everyone will wonder if it's, do you mean Horror Shadows? And it's like, no, Horror. You're in a comedy club for ghosts.
You mean
like
Horror Ghost?
That's the expansion.
Oh, man. Nice. Yeah. So Harsh Shadows.
That is what I've been playing.
Cool. Ben, how about you?
I only have Snake Doctor.
Okay.
And I'm gonna make Dennis talk about it as well. but I reminded you of that one game, Cole, so that counts as like half credit for my for my games, right? Okay.
Yeah. And also I'm not mad about it. Don't put in the paper that I'm mad.
No, I know. So the only progress I made is I think I was at level 3 last week, and I made it to level 4 this week, so I had another successful run. Dennis went big time. He advanced to level 4 and to level 5, so he has beaten the game. Or I think maybe the way to phrase it is I advanced from level 4 to 5, but I haven't beat 5 yet. Dennis advanced
You're on New Game Plus 5 and haven't beaten it. I have beat it, which means all I have left is the infinite loop mode, of which I think I'm up to like level 75 with my current build.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But if you go to the Discord, people go to like 150 regularly. So it's crazy town frolics over there.
Dang. Yeah. Well, that's actually, yeah, actually that'd be cool to check out then. Cause I bet there's a bunch of like busted builds on there that I haven't considered. But I'll wait. I don't want to see that yet. I'd like to beat it on my own accord, but,
they just did a new patch, by the way.
Oh, they did. I think, was it like a couple days ago?
Might've been.
I think I got it.
Buffed Cryomancer and Mages.
Yeah. The circle's bigger.
Dumb anymore. Yeah, Cryomancer, the circle is bigger, and then the mage now has a tier 3 that makes sense. Okay. Again, evolving into gobbledygook.
yeah. So there's like an achievement for beating the game with a full stock of like each of the different classes. Mm-hmm. And I think I have about half of those. So that's kind of like what I'm trying to go for in the builds that I make. And so the last one I had, I won with Rogues and Enchanters, which I hadn't had awards for.
Oh,
and so it adds a weird twist to the metagame, because it's like, by the time you get to the 24th and 25th level, like it's kind of clear whether or not you're going to win the game or not. And so then it's like a weird market thing where it's like, all right, now the priority is just getting a full stack of classes of like people so I can get this achievement. So like I'm going to cut like these people because I already have awards with them. I'm going to add like these like rider classes so that I can get that. But that's kind of a weird way to play the end of the game, I guess.
Well, it's interesting to hear kind of when you decide on what your roster is going to be. Because everyone hits that point where it's like, all right, I am no longer fishing for better units. I am all in on these and I'm just going to upgrade what I have.
Yeah.
I
think we talked about this before where it's like, everything before level 6, it's a numbers game. You just need like warm bodies on your train and like enough to like beat the first boss. But then maybe between there and 12 is when that's when you like have to figure out, okay, what are the artifacts I have? Like, what should I build around? Like, which classes do I have access to and who should I dump? I think that's kind of when it kind of forms or when it gels for me. Mm-hmm. And then like at that point, when you get to that point, if you can like handedly beat the level 12 boss, that's when you can start like digging for very particular artifacts that you need to make the build even better. Mm-hmm. And then start leveling them up and stuff. I found out looking at the question or the rules that you only get interest after 25. If you like discounting the mercenary. Yeah. Did you know that?
I did. I looked that up a while ago and was very surprised.
Yeah, but the mercenary rewards you up till 100, though, right? I think.
But yeah, if you, and we've said before on the show, you're always going to have a mercenary because of that. and then, but you know, in the rare time that I don't, it's so weird how different your play style looks in terms of what you're buying.
Yeah, like mercenaries, like almost always positive EV. So yeah, you never not buy them, but then the question is whether or not you get enough mercenaries to like make a block out of it, or you just dump them like once you have sufficient amount of money.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Do you think you're going to get either of the achievements level 2 or level 3, which is beating the game with only 2 or 3 units?
Oh, wow. This says I have level 3 win with only level 3 units. So are you sure, only 3 units or a certain
You're correct. Yeah, it's level 3 units and level 2 units. All right. I was upset with 1 because I think I had all level 3 units except for 1 and I should have dumped it cuz I could have beat the game with everyone else and did not.
I tell you what, there are a lot of level 1 units that I keep around to the end game just because
they're really powerful
when they're all the way upgraded.
I think you're mixing. Are you mixing tier characters and levels?
Tier, yes. This is what I am thinking. The tier and level, it's like too close.
Yeah. So like tier means like they're kind of like people. You can think of it as like Pokemon, right? Those are the first generations, and like tier 3 is kind of like the Charizards of the world. Kind of. Yeah. We'll go with that. Yeah, man, this game. How do you make this game in 3 months, though? You got to be moving pretty quickly.
You got to not think it's going to be anything, and then kind of fart it out there and realize, oh, crap, I was actually onto something.
Yeah.
And simple assets probably help, too.
Yeah, for sure. That cuts down on, so much development. You don't need, you don't need to mess with, like, a whole bunch of models or anything at all like that.
Or just, and like, back and forth with an artist, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all right. I don't think I have much more to say. It's still fun. I'll probably try and get the last victory so I can get to 5 wins. But
we know you're gonna have every single achievement for this game by the time you're done. You don't have to pretend.
We'll see. I play it until I'm like satisfied with it, and like I could stop now and I think I would be satisfied.
You can stop anytime you want.
It's not like that.
I'm not fiending. This is just a super basic question. All of the conversation that I'm hearing is just about not the meta, but like the but just like your kind of like recruiting decisions, right? And
builds.
And kind of managing the economy. And so at its base, you're still steering this snake around, right? You know, rotationally. Like, does the game get hard in your does it get difficult to achieve what you want to achieve with your hands, like the dexterity? Is that a way that it gets more difficult, or does it or is it all, you know, like the actual mechanical play of navigating the field and hitting what you need to hit while avoiding your own tail, you know, like that is just kind of like a basic thing.
You go through your tail if you're long enough. BT
yeah,
does.
Finally got long enough to learn that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the answer, my answer at least, Cole, is absolutely not. Like, if you're building it right, it really is the simplest thing to just like move away from the bad guys and
gotcha.
We'll kill them before they reach you.
Yeah. You do hit like a runaway effect where like you just destroy people too quickly that they can't even have an effect on you.
Right.
I think I find that especially true with the orb build where you have like these spinning orbs that go around you. Mm-hmm. Like I liken it to the movie Gravity, the like space debris that like just shreds everything that it passes through.
Oh yeah, kind of like Kepler syndrome kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. So it's like you just need to get like a foot away from the bad guy, and then it'll just like kill as many of them that are there that exist. So
sorry, Kepler syndrome. I always get that mixed up.
What I will say though is so that's, you know, that's if you're getting the build that you want.
Yes.
If you kind of have this middling build and you're not really seeing what you want and you're, you know, you've got crap artifacts or whatever. And honestly, again, this is more like Slay the Spire than you think. If you're in that middle ground, then absolutely like the dexterity or the twitch reflex aspect of playing this game. Mm-hmm. Gets way more important and way more difficult.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a lot more like high level streamers or whatever, if those exist for this game. Mm-hmm. Apart from me and Ben, obviously.
No, of course.
But like I could see them, you know, having a lot of runs that they are able to get way farther than other people would be able to by virtue of kind of better being able to do the live action piece of it.
Right.
Yeah. And like, it's not like a finesse like Rocket League in terms of how you like dodge these sorts of things. It's not like that like fine tuned or whatever.
Right.
Because the other piece too is like the things are randomly generated. So you can, it's very similar to like magic in my opinion, in terms of it's like, okay, we have a shit ton of randomness in this. You just need to like try and make it so that you have the best odds of like winning. And then, but like, for example, like things can spawn like on top of you. And if you have like a long enough train, it's like there's no way to avoid the people spawning on top of the back of your train and then like killing those things. So like to a certain degree, yeah, like as Dennis points out, like the where you're at the middling stage, even if you have like a bomb build, usually that comes together between like rounds like 15 and 25 maybe. Mm-hmm. But like the rounds like 5 to 15, that's where it's like you're trying to find what path to go down. And but like, yeah, it's not as like it's not as twitchy where it's like the best handler versus the worst handler is gonna like, it's not like that. It's so much better. It's if you're just lucky and get lucky artifacts, that makes up for any amount of like dexterity you might have. So
what I will say is the artifacts that make you faster and enemies slower have a surprising amount of impact.
Okay.
So it is not necessarily difficult to you know, steer the snake most of the time, but if you are just a little bit faster, like if you're trying to outrun someone in football or whatever, you're like taking the right angle to get to the edge before they do, and kind of keeping all that in mind, positioning wise is pretty tricky, especially when you're trying to figure that out for three different enemies at once.
Yeah.
I guess similar to Slay the Spire, the bad guys do a good job of like testing your build and figuring out if you have protection against certain things. There's turrets that'll shoot at you from across the map, which are so annoying, but that's like a test against like, can you kill something on the other side of the map? Like, if you have stuff that you deploy, then you can, or if you have like things that seek or whatever from far away, then you can, but otherwise you're on the other end of the map and you're just going to get like shot down, or you have to take some losses before you can kill them. But then there's also like ones that will zap people and make everybody faster upon death or just randomly. Yeah. And so that like kind of tests, like if it's early in the game and you have really quick builds like rogues or rangers, you might be able to outrun people even if they have like that speed boost. So it could be completely useless, but that could like really hose you down if you have like a super slow moving train. So
yeah. Thanks for not calling attention earlier to the fact that I was headed right toward asking, does this game get hard in your hands? And then I very circuitously avoided saying that. So I really am happy nobody drew attention to that.
Nobody except for you. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think you were that much like there are a ton of outs from saying that. Mm-hmm. But once you realized it was possible for you to say that, it was very hard to find the out.
It's target fixation, right? You know, we're just like, if you're just looking at something while you're driving, you're just going to subtly steer toward it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Did you have anything else, Ben?
No, I didn't. Okay. I saw the movie Pig with Nicolas Cage over the weekend.
How was that?
It was okay.
Okay.
It's well written.
Yeah. I heard his performance and it's really good. We're in this Nicolas Cage like renaissance of good but not like mind blowing kind of stuff, but like appreciable stuff. Mandy, Color Out of Space, Willy's Wonderland.
He's given up on being mind blowing, and now that frees him up to just be good.
Yeah. Wait. I think we're in the like throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks stage of Nicolas Cage because. The dude puts out so many movies a year that, like, some of them are bound to be good. But, like, his hit rate's still pretty bad, I think.
His hit rate's pretty bad. But, like, I'm just talking, like, here extremely recently, like, over the past, like, since, like, 2018. Like, compared to when he was in the, like, Family Man, Ghost Rider 2, Spirit of Vengeance kind of valley. Like, or I mean, like even like beyond that, like Drive Angry, you know, like there have been doldrums, there have been real like depths that he's reached. I'm specifically thinking of I mean, like the three recently, but Mandy, Color Out of Space, and Willy's Wonderland, which I enjoyed.
You're putting me in a real tight spot, Cole, because I really don't want to besmirch Nicolas Cage, because I like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, no, like, his career's a fucking mess, but also, like, you can still like him and say that.
Yeah, no, like, I agree, he is putting out good movies. I linked the IMDb page, because I hadn't looked this up, and we might as well do our listeners a service and talk about it now. He starred in six movies in 2018. He starred in... six movies in 2019, two in 2020, and three in 2021 so far.
I mean, he's got a tax bill. He paid two. Like,
yeah, I know.
He bought too many castles and a T-Rex skeleton and a bunch of Superman memorabilia. And I don't know how you expect him to make money if it's not by making whatever movie comes his way.
He has an addiction to Fabergé eggs.
Oh, yeah, no. I like that. That's a good Simpsons reference.
Yeah.
Bleeding Gums Murphy.
And also six movies in 2017 and five in 2016. I'm just trying to, I didn't know this before. I'm like literally looking this up for the first time. So like the dude is prolific. Like he has high output right now.
Yeah. And like, I haven't heard of any of these. What the fuck is Dog Eat Dog? Like what are you talking about? Vengeance, A Love Story. Like,
you could throw out literally any phrase that comes to your mind and I would believe it's a Nicolas Cage movie.
Uh huh.
So like maybe this is like the differences, because some of these I'm aware of and I know they do not look good. Like Willy's Wonderland was supposed to be like a Five Nights at Freddy's type movie.
Uh huh.
But apparently it just wasn't that great.
No, it was fine. It's fun. It is strange because Nicolas Cage is a silent protagonist in that. Like he doesn't say a word, but all of the acting is like his expression. And you know the action that goes into it. Yeah, we did that on Adaptation Decay treating it as an adaptation of Five Nights at Freddy's. But, all right. Yeah.
Well, then I'll say Kill Chain is probably bad then.
Yeah, I don't know what the like. What in the world is Kill Chain, and why is his name Aranya? What's that Enya doing in there, Nick? Huh. Yeah. No, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, it can't all be Leaving Las Vegas. It can't all be Wild at Heart. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you gotta look at a Mandy and say, you know, yeah, no, that's yeah, you're doing good, bud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not talking
he seems happy now, and that's what makes me happy. Yeah.
I will say, like, doing that many things or being in debt isn't necessarily a bad thing. George Carlin had a similar trajectory where he got, like, huge in debt from the 70s because of his managers. And so that's why he was, like, a very prolific, like, stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. No, sometimes you get fucked over. You know, it happens.
Your way out of it. What?
We're not talking about video games anymore.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
No. That's okay. I'm curious about Pig because I just even just the title and the fact that it's John Wick, but instead of a dog, it's a pig, is really funny to me.
I didn't know that was the premise for that movie.
He wants his pig back really bad.
It turns out to be something like a lot different. It's kind of like a movie about loss and dealing with loss, but then there's like a weird theme where it's set in Portland and it's like talks about like gentrification and things like that. So it's like it's a very well written movie, and Nicolas Cage is good in it. A few other actors are really good in it. I don't know. It's interesting. Whatever. We can talk about other things. I don't want to trump with Pig.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, this was inspired by Jala's celebratory game playing for her birthday.
Of course.
The question is, if you're in the mood to celebrate, what game do you break out?
Yeah. And I'll get us started here. We have a lot of new names here that I've not seen before or haven't seen very much before. So welcome, folks, if you are new to participating. Yeah. Tom writes, if I was productive, I let myself play an open world / wander around game like Elder Scrolls so I can just get lost in the game. I can't do tactics after thinking all day. Makes sense to me.
There.
Then you have to make decisions on where to go, though.
Maybe, but then also you can just do whatever seems like it would be the most fun, as opposed to the thing that will guarantee your survival or success.
Yeah, I think you can easily just say, fuck it, I'm going this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But which way is this way?
The way with the bear that I might want to kill or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Ben, what does Austin say?
Austin says, Mario Odyssey, a fun, quick game with no story and just fun. If it's the weekend, Hex Crank to laugh with Cole.
Mm. Thanks for with instead of at. Dennis, what does Sean say?
Sean says, "The Last of Us Part 2 to bring my mood right back down." That's good, Sean. Keep yourself in your place.
It's important to have balance. Yeah. Eli says, "Sekiro. I just love those deflection sound effects. If I haven't played in months, then it's fun just to load up a save and see where it drops me. Oh, hello, Sword Saint Ishin, new game plus 5. Why, yes, this is indeed my 8th beer. Let's dance." This did not go well, FYI. Eli says, "P.S. The update allowing you to revisit bosses makes the game even better for this kind of play."
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. That was a good update. I don't care for Sekiro as much as Eli does. But, you know, for a game that is as centered on that, being able to replay a boss you really enjoy without needing to bump up to a new game level is good. That's a good and welcome change.
Pushes it towards that open world wander around game that Tom mm-hmm. mentioned.
Yeah. Ben, what does Greg say?
Greg says, "Strangely enough, if I'm in a good mood, I usually do not play a game. Video games help me cheer up when things are rough or I need a distraction from life. If I'm really happy, I'll break out something alcoholic and do something like chat online, watch TV or a movie, or enjoy a Twitch stream or gaming on YouTube."
I mean, that's close to mine. We'll talk about that when we read ours. But I understand what Greg is saying.
Celebrate by watching someone else game.
Yeah. Ben, what does...
I'll go again.
Hey, Dennis.
I do this all night.
Dennis, what does Rick say?
You should have given it to Ben. Rick says, "Rocket League. But there's a good chance that playing competitive mode will take that joy away from me."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing one-on-one is like inviting stress into your life.
Yeah. I'm feeling good. Let's have some confrontation. David writes, "Ideally, I'd get a friend or two, grab a beer, and play Rocket League or Smash Brothers for a while."
I was not expecting Rocket League to be the darling of this question.
Yeah. Makes sense
finally,
to me.
Finally, people are waking up.
You've been extolling the virtues for years. Years! And Ben, finally, what does Moonborn say?
Moonboard says, "Any new game I've been looking forward to playing. The very act of playing video games is a celebration for me."
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I honestly, just because video games are already work, and I do not say that for sympathy, or I do not say that to make it sound like I dislike things, but are you familiar with the idea of a busman's holiday? You know?
No, what is that?
Oh, it's a phrase. Like, okay, guy who drives buses is, you know, for every day for his work, decides to go on vacation, and he ends up taking his vacation riding a bus a long way. Yeah. Like, just oh, weird. No. Yeah. If I'm feeling in an especially good high mood, I will often, end up doing something, a little bit different, consuming a different, kind of media. Kind of the difference for that would be, firing up like a rhythm game, Rocksmith, Rock Band, things like that. That is giving myself time to engage with music in that way. It is nice when I have the mood, the energy, and the time to mm-hmm. make that happen. So that's mine. Ben, how about you?
I think for me, kind of going along with some of these answers, I think drinking and drafting is my choice. And so that can, but similar to The Last of Us Part Two, sometimes that can backfire if you just get a lot of bad runs in a row. But yeah, I don't know. Magic, I think, is always a lot of fun to play. Especially if you know the set really well, then I think it takes a lot of like the pressure off of like trying to evaluate the cards. And then it's more
is this Magic Arena, or will you like do a few friends?
Yeah. I mean, either one. I'm fine with any of that. But just like specifically drafting, I think, is fun. Especially, yeah, and as I was saying, if you know the set really well, then you can kind of pick like what your strategy is and like feel more comfortable with that sort of thing. And like spot what's opening, what's free. So I think that can be a lot of fun. So, yeah.
And Dennis.
I actually, like Moonborn's answer, but I think that's more just like a treat yourself kind of deal. It's like, ooh, I feel like celebrating. I'll find myself browsing and be like, maybe I will pick up that new game that's been on my wish list. But then kind of close to your answer, Cole, Beat Saber is an amazing game for just like continuing the feel good vibe. I mean, I can't not think of Punch Dancing from Hot Rod, but it's Punch Dancing from Hot Rod.
Yeah.
You just feel super cool and can turn it up, be in your own little world and rock out.
Yeah. No, that's been nice after kind of a long time of not having a wide open space to play VR stuff, just because I was doing that remodel kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Having that office back as a place that has room to do VR has been nice for Beat Saber, Autica, Pistol Whip, stuff like that.
You know, I've had my, speaking of games on my wish list, right? I've had Pistol Whip and Autica on my wish list for the longest time.
Oh yeah, Autica's great. Pistol Whip is good as well. That's a little bit closer to like a standard Lycan game kind of thing. Autica's like if you specifically like rhythm stuff, Autica will be a big fun one. Yeah.
Okay, that's good to hear. I think I kind of had the worry that I would get it and would just be a not quite as good Beat Saber, and then I would just be mad I wasn't playing Beat Saber anytime I was playing Autica.
It's different, and I mean, and that's Harmonix as well. So you know, you're it's weird. They made this really good rhythm shooter game, and then because it's VR, nobody played it or talked about it.
They also made an amazing board game in Dropmix, and no one played it or talked about it. So
yeah, but then they turned that into Fuser, and that game is like hugely popular and also really good. Mm. So
second try.
Yeah.
Second time's the charm is that phrase that I just botched.
Thank you, everybody, for responding to this. If you would like to participate in the multiplayer in the future, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Watch for the prompt to go up on Monday afternoons. Thank you, Dennis, for posting it.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. This one, it's kind of like a big serious news story. The initiating incident is not exciting. In fact, it's disgusting. But the reaction is something that I think is good. So I'll just lay it out. And this is evolving as we're going, so I'm going to be pretty basic on the details here. So late last week, I believe maybe even over the weekend, there was a lawsuit filed by the state of California against Activision Blizzard, specifically for sexual harassment and workplace discrimination against women, trans women, and women of color. Apparently, it's a fucking nightmare to work for Activision Blizzard, and has been for a very long time. There are excerpts that people have posted on Twitter from the lawsuit filing. It'll curdle your blood, what people have had to deal with there. And Activision's, just the company's response, doing kind of a blanket denial, and just blatantly lying about a bunch of stuff, didn't really please the people who work there. So, 2,600 plus employees at multiple locations, are staging a walkout. This is tomorrow. As of the time that we are that we're recording, it'll happened in the past. As the time that you're that you're listening, but they're going to be staging a walkout, and in order to kind of draw attention to a list of demands that they have been making, specifically about shoring up workplace equity problems. This is happening concurrently with demands that have already been made to kind of amend. Things that were present in references that were present in classic World of Warcraft and even like current World of Warcraft, you know, in jokes that were pretty off color or about people who worked at the studio who may have been involved, indicted in some or implicated in some pretty horrific behavior as well.
Hopefully indicted is next, but we'll see.
We'll see. I want to be clear with the language, so I don't misrepresent what happened.
No, I feel
you. Yeah. My understanding is that Activision Blizzard is actually providing people who are walking out with paid time off for this. So that is that is good. It shows that they're going to be working with the employees. And hopefully this is the start of some kind of broader movement or change, and hopefully this begins some kind of motion towards, let's say, organizing. hey, everybody, maybe a union would help.
What's the rule? Like a decade after you start seeing headlines about it, it actually happens? Because I feel like I've been seeing headlines about this for... Yeah. About that long.
Well, I mean, Activision has always had problems. Blizzard specifically. I mean, you know, and people have been posting old stories like, "Hey, remember this." You know, I saw a video of a woman getting up, like it was like a BlizzCon in like 2010 or something like that. You know, asking like, "Hey, you know, when are we gonna?" You know, I appreciate the number of female. Just female characters that we have, present in the game, important characters for the lore and, what's happening, when are we going to get, some characters who don't look like, they're coming from a Victoria's Secret catalog. And some guy, I don't know his name because I don't name individual pieces of shit. But he said, well, what kind of catalog do you want them to come out of? Was his response, and uproarious laughter, and then just basically saying, we have a style and we know what our fans want, so we're just gonna keep on giving it to them. Yeah. I said I was gonna keep it brief, and I failed at doing that. I am happy that people are walking out. I am happy that that it looks like corporate is aware enough that this is enough of a blow that they have to play ball, it is terrible that people had to go through what they did, but I hope that there is something good that comes that comes from all of this light.
That when you're listening to this, that meaningful progress has already been made.
Yes, yeah, that would be the hope. So
it is the main thought in my head, as I've watched all this unfold, and obviously terrible that it happened in the first place, but is that Activision Blizzard has let this fester for so long that now they're pinned in this position where it's a literal lawsuit from the state of California against them.
Yeah.
And the typical shtick of like, we're sorry and we want to do better and the right things you're supposed to say to not have your fans completely turn against you is now unavailable to them for fear of incrimination and, needing to play defense for this lawsuit. And it just lays bare how hollow all those statements are.
Yeah.
Have been before. In addition to the fact that nothing fucking happened from them.
we see you. We hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. But now they're literally in a position where it's like, all right, well, we'll drag our feet on saying anything because lawyers.
Yeah. And it's California, but also for any Department of Justice to like raise a stink about worker treatments in America is like, how bad does it like that's how bad it was that there was a legal action filed by a state DOJ against worker treatment policies.
Yeah.
Blah. Yeah. So that's what I got there. I'm now all worked up about labor stuff. So I will fade into the background here. Hey Ben, what's going on with Fall Guys?
Can I make more comments to rile you up more?
Yeah, sure.
Here's just like, it's like, I'm trying to think of like how you get like shitty people really high in power like that. And it's like, I think I think part of how I've seen personally, like at the levels where I've worked at, of like how when bad people get promoted, it's usually in situations where the quality of work that one does is divorced from, like, you get measured based on the quality or the amount of things that you take responsibility for versus the quality of things that you do, if that makes sense.
Right.
If there's like a divorce, or if it's like unclear, like, what someone's impact is, then then people seem to get promoted a lot more based on like feelings, based on like data. But also in general, like, just pyramid structures of companies seem kind of bad too, because then a lot of knowledge gets obfuscated, and then that's when really bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the flatter a company it is, the better it is.
Yeah, I give Valve a lot of shit for being a holacracy, you know, completely flat, because it seems like nothing.
It's not completely good gets flat. Done. It's a two-tier company. Gabe's above everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think you're right. Anytime you have just entrenched, you know, really highly placed people who can act with impunity create a culture, even just inadvertently by simply allowing things to happen, it fucking sucks. You know, and mm-hmm. there's also the fact that people promote their friends, you know, that's just mm-hmm. it's a fact of life. People hire their friends, you know.
Yeah. and I think it is so easy to underestimate how hard it is to stand up to or call out those toxic things when they happen.
Oh, no.
Like you say, you know, yeah. Someone asks a question, some dude makes an off-color joke from stage and the room cracks up. Like, it takes a, you know, absolute pillar of a person to actually like say something to
well
that.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the stories, you know, a good number of the stories were retaliation when people would, you know, especially women would say like, hey, mm-hmm. that was actually like not great, you know, all of a sudden they start, you know, getting comments and start losing opportunities, you know. It just mm-hmm. it sucks and is hard, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a shitty situation come to light. Hopefully things change for the better.
I hope so.
If Activision Blizzard ceases to exist, I wouldn't mind it, but we all know that's not going to happen.
Right. They're big. Yeah. Something that big just doesn't just go away. I'm not too crazy about playing playing Blizzard games. I haven't played a Blizzard game in a while, but you know.
One thing, I feel like the U.S. has a bunch of like really, really dumb policies, but I think one thing that's really smart is like sexual harassment scales based on the revenue of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why a lot of bigger companies are much more like eager to like have training and stuff like that and avoid that sort of thing, because they have to pay a much higher price than like a mom and pop company if that happens. Yeah. And I think that is a smart policy.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much why HR exists. HR isn't there to help you. HR is there to protect the company from you. Yeah, mm-hmm. by drumming that into your head, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, Fall Guys season 5. What do you guys think about it? Just came out last week. Jungle themed, huh?
I hope the people who made it were treated well. I hope it wasn't an equitable work situation.
It seems like a fun place from the very few interviews I've seen with the people who work there. But
have you tuned in for this? Have you played any more?
I have not played since like season 2. But gotcha. It's just saying good on Fall Guys for keep putting out seasons. Like I have seen some of the updates that they made from like streamers that I watched. Like they have like a team mechanic now,
mm-hmm.
where like instead of it, where like you play as a team essentially, and so your team will get a placement, and then that many team members advance.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that it's like, so say like one of your buddies gets knocked out, that's okay. If your team still places, then they're back in it for the next round. They're playing around with some of the mechanics like that, where they're gonna do like single player entries where you get randomly paired up with people, and it's like mini teams, like teams of like two or three people. Mm-hmm. In addition to having like the party mode that they currently have, but also like they're just differentiating like the themes and the types of games that they have. yeah, again, like I've only seen kind of updates from this from like the streamers that I watch periodically. But they, I mean, they are doing a really good job of like iterating on games that are already out and improving them. Mm-hmm. Like one example I can think of is there's one of the final games is there's like two spinning batons on the circle platform that spin in opposite directions.
Okay.
Or sorry, they spin at different speeds.
Okay.
They've switched that out where like both of them had like basically two batons like 180 degrees apart from one another. So you're like, you're jumping like every half rotation or whatever. They switched it so like one of them has three and the other has two, and I think they spin in different directions. Mm-hmm. So you have to be like much more careful about timing it. It's like small things like that. They're doing like a really good job of improving things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this came out I think this week. A week ago actually. In fact. So yeah, if anyone's still into that game or is looking to go back and play updates, then that exists.
So. Nice. Mm-hmm. Cool. I don't have any more questions or comments.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that this little indie derp-a-derp game has turned into the cultural force that it has.
That was an early game that that was like a pandemic hit kind of. It was like that, and then Among mm-hmm. Us kind of swooped in and grabbed the heat.
But it's, you know, it's the Fortnite story just with a company that actually you want to root for.
Right. Yeah. And an actual underdog. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, what's happening with the shooter that's too popular to release?
Yeah. So speaking of things that like I didn't realize existed until about a week ago, Splitgate is a thing.
Okay.
And, you know, since Portal has happened, every single person is like, why isn't this mechanic in more games?
Because it's really hard to design for.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to swoop the answer, but
no, that it is an excellent answer. But Splitgate has gone and done it. Apparently this has been an open beta for, well, let's see. No, it's been like a couple weeks now.
Okay.
I had never heard the name Splitgate before. However, apparently people are playing it and they have successfully designed for this portal mechanic, which like I to describe what the game is, that like there's nothing to say other than it's Portal as a first person shooter.
Halo with portals.
But, yeah, Halo with portals. Like there's even the weapons look similar.
Yeah.
And the character design certainly looks similar to Halo.
There's a capture the flag mode, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. But they've apparently done it well enough that so many people are jumping in that versus launch now when they planned and have it be a complete cluster, they have said we're going to delay purely for the reason of getting our servers up to par with the influx of people that we're seeing.
Yeah,
and I respect that.
Yeah, I mean that's what you call a good problem for whatever you mm-hmm. you know for whatever hit you take on your studio's burn rate or whatever, like. Shit, you know that you're guaranteeing a better launch and better PR mm-hmm. and more people being able to hop in. Yeah, that's it's a good choice.
In the world of open betas, like this isn't even really a hit on your burn rate, right? Like people are already coming to this game, people are already playing this game. Mm-hmm. The beta is going to stay live until launch, so the beta continues and just the full launch is being delayed as they upgrade servers. So
nice.
Good on them. And expect to hear me talking about playing this because I don't know if it's free to play, but it's
definitely is free to play.
Hmm.
At least according to the trailer in the article.
But brain melted.
But I don't know how that works. Like where are you making what? I guess there's got to be like costumes or something.
There's got to be battle pass kind of stuff.
Yeah. I will say watching just the trailer for this and seeing people zip through portals, it is as disorienting as Portal. And I'm sure once you're familiar with the maps and kind of have more of an idea of where you're going, this gets better.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see this being an absolute nightmare to be a new player in.
Yeah.
It already feels when you're new to a game like the people are always just instantly behind you. Now it's actually true. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Cool. So mm-hmm. Splitgate. That's my job to say the name of the thing that we talked about.
Look, at the end of talking about it. This week, we all got to pitch in. Okay,
I appreciate it. I appreciate you being a team player. How do y'all feel about bundling it up?
So, I'm not going to do zippers. Buttons now because you just told me. Yeah, you just told me not to do the other people's things. So
no, we got to do buttons. It's Shella's birthday.
Buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for this level number 379 coming up on the big one. That's right, 380. We appreciate you taking the time. If you tuned in for the role playing stream over the weekend, thank you for doing that. I am sure Jala has that up as a video on demand. If you want to go check that out, if you're curious, based on the details that we had or that we spoke of. I'm trying to think of, the things you can do. You can leave ratings or review. You can tell your friends. You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. All of that helps. Dennis, do you have anything going on for Deck of Wonders right now?
Nothing huge new for Deck of Wonders. I will say we had a great little spate of people suggesting questions. And I think almost everyone has shown up as a weekly question. So
oh, nice.
if you think of something that you think would be cool to discuss, DM it to us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we love taking suggestions on that front.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask where people could do that. Sweet. So you can catch, I've been Cole. You can catch me on Twitch, DuckFeedTV.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on Instagram at Deck of Wonders.
I've been and continue to be Ben Merkel. You can find me nowhere.
And stick around for some titles.
BT dubs and Splitgate, you can dab. So that's how we know it's going to be a certified hit.
Yes. Yes. it's a dance move. these space marines are dancing, guys. It's funny because you wouldn't expect it.
Hello, kids.
I got far enough down in the article, by the way. I didn't see the first comment before, but the first or top comment, I don't know how they organize these, is they should have called it Portal Combat.
That's pretty good. How do you who has to, I've got two titles. I have if she wanted me dead ... and then I have a Free Willy situation.
I don't like hearing that out of context.
All right,
pretty good.
Who else has titles? Dennis.
I have two as well.
Okay.
I've got Save It for the Snake Judge.
Okay.
And then apropos of our Nick Cage conversation, Act Your Way Out of It.
I only have one. I have the Snake Doctor game that shall not be named.
Shall not be named.
So we have all different titles?
We do, yeah. The one that got laughs was a Free Willy situation.
Yeah, it's got to be Free Willy
situation. Yeah, that was a Ben joint. Oh, that was good. Swims out and doesn't swim back in. That was fun. Any oppositions to a Free Willy situation as the title?
No, love it.
As a phrase, it can be, you know, you're fine being uncomfortable with it.
I approve it as a phrase and a title.
I am fine with everything in the context of the show.
Okay.
I'll start working up tattoos.
Oh, no. Side note, I'm going to keep you for another minute or two. I saw a dude with tattoos, math tattoos, at a coffee shop this morning. He had all the regular solids that you can make. There's like a Euclidean solids. Yeah.
Yeah. So like dice. So tetrahedron.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He had that as a tattoo and I was like, oh man, dude, I should probably like, if I were to get a tattoo, what would I get of that? And I think the one that I would get is, I'm writing it out.
So it was not pictures of those shapes. He didn't have like dice tattooed on him. It was literally like the equations.
The one I'm saying, that's what I would get if I were to get one, is that thing that I wrote out, but it would look prettier and formatted. But the Google image search should be of all the D&D dice shapes, which is a good way to put it.
Yeah. Icosahedrons, dodecahedrons. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a role player, not a math guy.
It's just some dude at a coffee shop, man. I don't know what his deal was.
I'm still confused. Did he have the equations or the actual like mock-up of the shape?
There's no equations. It's just the dice, like those shapes.
Okay, he had the dice shapes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was so certain at the beginning that it was like the equations for them. And then I was so certain that it wasn't, and then I was so certain that it was, and then now I'm certain that it wasn't.
It's just pictures of the shapes. There's no there's no like generic equations for the shapes or anything.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know math stuff. I don't know that's true. What's the equation for a cube, Ben?
Cube. There's not an
equation. I mean for what aspect of a cube?
Yeah. Area, perimeter.
Yeah.
Can't even do perimeter.
Volume. Surface area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've run out of space for tattoos if I'm doing all of those. So,
what is this? It's EI or E raised to the power of I times pi plus 1 equals 0.
God damn it. You turn it upside down, it says penis.
There's a name for it. I think it's Euler's formula, maybe. But it's E to the I pi, it's equal to negative 1. But you could, Euler's identity. Sorry, more wiki links. But the reason why it's cool, the equation itself is not like that, like dramatic or anything. Uh-huh. It's basically saying if you go halfway around a circle that's centered at x y axis, it goes to -1.
Gotcha.
So that part's like not very like insightful or anything. But what's cool about it is it's just made up of 5 numbers that are all like kind of important to the history of mathematics and that were discovered at like very different times from one another, even 1 and 0.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So it's like the mathematical equivalent of the quick brown fox kind of thing.
Yeah. That's like a good way to phrase it. Yeah.
Hey. this is really weird because panagrams have been a staple of this week for me. And so to have it come up on this on this podcast is really weird.
Wait, what are panagrams?
So panagrams are sentences or phrases that use every letter of the alphabet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. I didn't realize there was a word for that.
I didn't either until I Wikipedia'd it earlier this week, which, like I said, it's so weird that came up on the podcast. I've been, for Luke and Mila, like giving them stuff to write, and I looked for
other sentences besides the one everybody knows.
My favorite, and let me see if I still have it in my notes. The 5 boxing wizards jump quickly.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you start to notice like patterns in the sentences, like quick, for example?
Jump, box was another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Box, fox, etc.
It's too bad that it's like not feasible to use every letter once and have that be possible.
Right. Yeah.
But
it is in
other languages.
They said which ones and I've forgotten, but yeah, there are other languages that it is feasible. Nice. And then there's also a variant on panagrams, which is basically like a self-describing sentence. And literally the sentence is, this sentence has X A's,
Okay.
X is a number written out, but X A's, it's like this sentence has 30 A's, 24 B's, 6 C's, and actually is all coherent, which is really, really weird. Let me see if I can find that one.
Yeah.
This makes me want to go back and read Gödel Escherbach, which is a book about Steph referentialism. Goes down the rabbit hole a whole bunch.
That's a don't get me started on palindromes.
Well, no, I was going to say, what if you get a panagram palindrome?
That is the dream. That is the dream.
ZZZ, was it a cat? I saw ZZZ.
Oh, here it is. A self-enumerating pangram.
Gotcha.
I'll paste it in here. And it's not panagrams. That's my bad. It's just a pangram.
Gotcha.
I can't believe you'd make that mistake.
so much more snackable.
I thought I knew you. there we go. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, to be fair, I just took it at its word. I have not checked it, but
All right. That's really interesting. Yeah.
we've been going into post credits for about 10 minutes now.
Yeah. It's all making it into the show.
Yeah. It's there. Hi, everybody.
I'm so sorry.
I usually end with us saying, all right, bye. Later, everybody.
Fine. All right, bye.
Take care, you guys. Have a good week.
All right. Have a good week. See you guys. Bye.